Daniel, I'm going to just kind of catch up just a little bit since we've got some new people in. We, young adult class, we started last week on some messages on prophecy, and we're going to do kind of an extensive study on that. But we went to the book of Daniel in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. In fact, I'll read just the first two verses. We're not going to read all that we read last week, but the first two verses says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." And Daniel, of course, was carried along with the Israelites in captivity to Babylon. You're all, I'm sure, familiar with this. And the thing about it is, we're told that in 2 Chronicles. We give the history of it and what happened and all of that. And then in the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah predicts the fact that they will be there for 70 years. And Daniel, when he was studying, as I read that to you, Daniel, when he was studying in the Bible, reading in Jeremiah, he understood that they was going to be there in Babylon for 70 years. And Daniel knew, because he had been one that had been brought to Babylon, that 70 years was nearly up, and it was coming to an end. So Daniel was praying. If you read the 9th chapter, it's a tremendous, tremendous chapter, as you hear Daniel pray. And my, how over and over and over he calls upon the Lord to forgive the sin of his people and his own sin. He talks about his sin, talks about the sin of the people. And he asks God for forgiveness. And so in answer to that prayer, in verse number 20, God sends an angel, Gabriel the angel, to give him an answer. He sends him swiftly. In verse 20 says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication," he said, at the very beginning when you began to pray, he says, he said, "the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." In other words, we find God sending an answer to his prayer. He's going to give him, because Daniel was concerned, the 70 years are almost up. Now what happens to Israel? Do they have a future? Do they have what's going to happen to them? And so the angel comes and gives one of the, I think, the most important prophecy that we need to understand now. There's so many in the Bible, of course, that are important, but this is an important prophecy that Gabriel gave to Daniel. Now I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to just listen just a few verses. Here's the prophecy that he gave, starting at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 70 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall, that's the prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He gives a very important prophecy here, and I want to make notice, because if you read this prophecy, it's important you understand something. He said these 70 weeks is going to be determined against Israel. This has nothing to do with the church. This is against Israel, the people, Daniel's people, and the city Jerusalem. That's important that you remember that as you're studying this portion of Scripture. It's only against Israel. Only. Completely. Now also, there's something else to remember. To verse 25 and verse 26 mentions two different princesses. That princess that's coming. And one of them is the Prince Messiah. That's Jesus, our precious Savior. That he's coming. Also, then, the other prince is one who will come from the people who will destroy the city of Jerusalem. And we know that that was the Roman people, the Roman government, that destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. So, again, just kind of keep those things in mind. It's important that you do not forget this is against the people, or determined against the people of Israel, not the church. We'll talk about the church age in just a moment, but keep that in mind when you read this. This is Daniel's people he's talking about. So there's 70 weeks determined. Now we discussed some of this last week, and I won't go over it all, but you remember when the 70 weeks are 70 weeks of years. So when you take 7 times 70, you have 490 years that he's giving us the history of Israel. All right, 490 years. The first 49 years is, we kind of believe that he covered that with the building of the walls, the building of Jerusalem, the building of the temple, the first 7 weeks, which would be 49 weeks. And then there's 62 weeks, which is added on to that, which makes your 69 weeks. And it's important to understand some, and that makes 483 years. It's important to understand some that is already passed. That's done. The only thing we have left is that 1 week determined against Israel. I explained to the people last week, when God showed the Old Testament prophets, he never showed them the church age. He showed them the mountaintops of this prophecy, the 483 years, and to them there was another week where a covenant was to be confirmed. They didn't see in between the 69 weeks and the 70th week that there's almost right now, 2,010 years. It's the church age. They did not know anything about that. So all we're waiting on now is after the rapture, thank God, after the rapture of the church, God then turns again to Israel for 1 week, and that's 1 week of years. That's 7 years. You've heard it over and over, the 7-year tribulation period, okay? And that's what Israel is looking, not really looking forward to, but that's what they've been determined against them, because that 7 years is going to be something awesome and terrible and wicked. And Israel is going to suffer much during that time. But let me just say this to you. They may bend, but they will not break. I was thinking, I think I maybe told you this, I'm not sure if I did or not, but I think I did. We know we planted some trees in front of our house, and they are weeping willow trees. And I had them staked up, and the winds come really strong here a while back and broke the stakes. It was oak stakes. I didn't think they would break, snapped them, took the tree and just laid them on the ground. And I thought, well, I'll bet them's done. Went out there, and they had bent, and was nothing wrong with them. I put them back up, restaked them, and they was just fine. What I'm saying to you is Israel's going to bend, but they're not going to break. I don't care what the leader of Iran says. It makes no difference. He's wanting to wipe Israel off of the map. And he keeps proclaiming that. And also other Arab countries are wanting to do the same thing. But let me assure you one thing, that will not happen. They are God's people. God has promised them. And that week, of course, that week of what we call terrible tribulation is going to be horrible for them. But they, at the end of that, will be brought back to Israel, and Jesus will come in the come to the earth and establish his rule for 1,000 wonderful years there. But let me say, it doesn't stop after 1,000 years. He'll continue on then into the ages of eternity. Jesus will rule. And so again, we're saying to you, yes, Israel's got a week coming. Week of years, 7 years, and it's going to be a horrible thing. But just remember, that could start any moment. You see, right after the rapture of the church, he's going to then turn again to Israel, and I'm saying to you folks, I hope you're as excited as I am about the times we live in. Israel is back in her land, has been since 1948, has become a nation, and more are going back to Israel all the time, and it's in the news constantly. We're living in exciting times. Jesus Christ could simply come again at any moment. Amen. See? And boy, get that in your heart, because he could come at any moment, and let me say to you, you do not want anybody, friend or foe, to go through the tribulation. That's why it's so important that we continue to witness for Christ and get people saved. You understand that? See, that's so important, because when Jesus comes, folks, I want to tell you, it's all over. The rapture happens. You understand? So you and I, we just need to be sure that we're faithful in doing everything we can to get the gospel out. That's what saves people. Yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross for our sins, being buried and raised again, and he's soon coming again. We got to get that message out. See, that's the only way folk can be saved, you see. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to rule. And he'll rule forever, thank God. And now I want to just kind of go back a moment. We talked about the 70 weeks, and I told you those are 70 weeks of years, so that makes a total of 490 years. 483 of those years are in the past. They're done. We have 7 more to go that's determined against Israel, okay? Now, I just want to share something with you over in the book of Genesis. If you want to turn there, fine. But I want to just read something to you that will help you in as you understand the years in the Bible. We won't take a long time with it, and what a month is in the Bible. You see, our months are all messed up. Some of them, one's 28, and some's 30, and some's 31, and We claim 365 days in a year. The Bible does not do that. The Bible claims 360. The book of Genesis, and that's in the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis. I didn't tell you that. In verse number 11, we'll do this quickly, but it's important that you understand this. It says in verse 11 in chapter 7, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, remember that, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Skip over to verse 24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, look at chapter 8, verse 3. And the waters returned from the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And then he says, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. Here we have 5 months from the time it started to 5 months till the time it ended and it rested on that mountain. And he tells us them 5 months was 150 days. So that puts a month at 30 days. See, that's Bible. That's Bible. Don't pay much attention to what we do. That's why it's kind of hard to figure out all the time all these times and places and all this, because ours is all messed up. But God uses 30 days and a month. Okay? I just kind of wanted you to kind of get a hold of that it would help you in that. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Nehemiah. You have Job. Can you find it? Go backwards then. You've got Esther and you've got Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the first chapter. Now, when did the prophecy begin? When the command was given to go forth and build Jerusalem. This we find in the book of Nehemiah. That's where that command was given, so we know when it started. Because here's the, in chapter 1, I'm just going to read a few verses, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Shishlu, that in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in the great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I'm not going to continue to read there, but this is Nehemiah being concerned about Jerusalem and the need to get back to Jerusalem and rebuild it. So he approaches the king with this idea. Turn to chapter 2, please. And he says, it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. You see, he's given us dates there. He's given us times. It's in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, and in the month Nisan of the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sat in his presence. Therefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city and the place of my father's sepulchre lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, and I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shalt thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. I'm not going to go on and read. You can go on and read that, but that is the proclamation. The king gave the commandment for Nehemiah to go and build the city. Okay? There's other commandments. There's other covenants that kings has made in the Bible. In Ezra, he sends Ezra to build the temple. But God said in Daniel, it's the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. And what I'm saying to you is that is the beginning of Daniel's prophecy. That's where it started, right there. And so we know the starting place of his prophecy. Now, I'm just going to give you some figures. They may not mean a lot to you, but 69 weeks have passed. We know that 69 weeks, then the Messiah will show up on the scene. And 69 weeks, of course, is 483 years. And if you take 483 years times 360 days, you have 173,880 days of the prophecy from the time it began till the time Jesus is going to come. That's why I told them last week, these people ought to have known when Jesus was coming. They ought to have known that. In fact, almost down to a day, if they had studied the Bible and understood the Word of God, they should have known that. You see, on that day, at the ending of that day, something special happened in Jerusalem. And I'm going to take you over to the book of Luke, please. The book of Luke. I'll give you the address here in a minute. Luke chapter 19. Now, I want you to listen to this. I know a little bit is redundant, but please listen to this, because this is important. We understand that they should have known that Jesus Christ would have come and present himself a king. Remember this. You remember in Jesus' ministry, time and time again, he would tell his disciples, don't tell them who I am. Don't. And he would even tell the evil spirits, don't tell them who I am. That is very important, because there was going to come a day when he was going to present himself as king. And on that day, that was exactly 173,880 days from the time the command was given. Here's what happened in Jerusalem on that day. Look at verse 28. It says, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You see, here comes their King. On this day, he presents himself to Israel as their king. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You see, before he had said, keep it still, keep it quiet. Now he says, you better proclaim it, because if you don't, the stones will cry out. Because it's the day that's been appointed for Jesus Christ to come to Jerusalem and be presented as the Prince, the King. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, and things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.
For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. And listen to this, because thou knewest not the time of my visitation.
See, they should have known that Jesus Christ was coming. And when he came that day, that ended the 69 weeks that had been proclaimed. And then, as I told you, of course,
you don't have to turn there, but in Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, let me read it to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You know what? Zechariah had predicted this very day. All of those years before, that day had been predicted there in Zechariah 9:9.
And so what has happened is, that day was the day that the prophecy of 69 weeks ended. Okay? And once again, I say to you that there was two other things, going back to Daniel, two other things that had happened after the 69 weeks are over. Okay, these are, and he predicted two things would happen. And I will read that here in verse number 26. And after 62 weeks, okay? 62 weeks, and he's in verse number 25. He's already told about the 7 weeks. So you add that to the 62 weeks. And he says, but not for himself. He'll be cut off, not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. What he's saying is, after the 69 weeks, he said two things will happen. The Messiah will be cut off. You see, even there he was predicting the horribleness of Jesus' death. He won't be just die, he will be cut off. You see, he's already presented himself as king. But now, after the 69 weeks are over, he'll be cut off and Jerusalem will be destroyed. All right? And we know that Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70. Okay? They just didn't understand that that time after the 69 weeks was going to go on for 2,010 years. They didn't understand that. They didn't know that. We know it. Thank God there was a church age. Thank God he turned to the Gentiles and called out us for salvation. Thank God for that. You say, can Jews get saved? Oh, certainly. They get saved just like you and I get saved. They just trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But as a nation, God is not, he's dealing with them, but he's not working with them, determining the time against them until the seven weeks began. And of course, that begins when there's a covenant made, as we find in verse number 27 of Daniel 9. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So we know that that there is a covenant. The Antichrist, you've heard spoken about the Antichrist. You've heard that many, many times. He's coming. He's, for as I'm concerned, the devil incarnate. I'm thinking about it. I don't know if I'm going to. I may. I don't know. See what the Lord wants. But I'm thinking about even doing one lesson on the Antichrist. Maybe next week. I'm not sure. But anyway, he is coming, and he's going to confirm the covenant with Israel for 7 years. Okay? That's the prediction that Daniel had given back here. He's going to come, make a covenant with Israel. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, first 2 verses, it talks about the horses that are riding, the white horse that rides. He has a bow. It doesn't say he has an arrow. He comes in peace. And I'm telling you, you talk about a deceiver. He comes as though he, with great pomp. And he'll be as though he wants peace with Israel, and he'll make this proclamation, this covenant with them for 7 years, okay?
And then in the middle of that 7 years, he's tired of them worshiping God and offering sacrifices unto God, because the temple will once be again built and Israel will be worshiping God and making sacrifices to God. And he comes along and he sets himself up as God in the temple of God in the midst of that week. That's what you and I have heard about for years and years and years, that terrible, horrible time of tribulation. You read about that from the 6th chapter of Revelation to the 19th chapter of Revelation. And I want to tell you, that's going to be some of the most horrible, horrible times that ever has. In fact, it will be the worst times ever has been upon the face of this earth. And again, I just remind you, we've got to keep people from that. I was this morning praying about my family. I'm not just talking about my immediate family. I'm talking about my extended family. I have some extended family people that are not saved. And I'm concerned about them. I ask God just about every day, God, please, 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 please see to it they get saved some way. Let's get the word of God to them so they'll be saved. Father, I don't even know a lot. I know some of the extended family. I'm talking about way out there. Lord, I don't even know some of them, but please get them ready for heaven. That's more important than anything else. You know, I pray a lot of things for my family. I really do. But the most I pray for is please that they'll be ready for heaven. These little ones coming up now, our great-great-grandkids, I'm starting to pray for them. I want them to know Jesus as soon as they can. You understand? That tribulation day, now listen, folks, it's coming. Jesus comes, it's all over. You understand? And so us get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's ask God to do whatever miracle that needs to be done, because this thing is coming quickly to an end. Amen. Yes, Jesus is coming. I know everybody's been saying that for a long time. He's still coming. Yes, he is. Still looking for him every day. And I certainly believe it could be very, very soon. So in the middle of this week, thankful. In fact, let's go over to, I think I've got just a few moments. Let's go over to Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew. Let me read to you. This is dealing with the time of tribulation, the time when Israel will be dealt with again. In verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, remember we read that, the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. You see, he's going to come, stand in the holy place, proclaim himself to be God. And then let them which is in Judea flee unto the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, there is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great wonders and signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. I'm not going to continue to read, but listen to me, folks. He gives us just a little picture here of what Israel's going to go through during that time. And he said, don't even come down off of the housetop. You got to flee. You got to get out. They're going to be driven into a wilderness somewhere. God has got a place prepared for them, and he's going to protect them last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's his people, Israel. And he's going to protect them. It's going to be a horrible time. for that nation. And so I say to you again, let's do everything we can get people saved. I know I'm not going to be around when the Antichrist comes, but he's a wicked, wicked person. He's wicked. He's Satan incarnated. You understand? You understand how bad that's going to be? Well, I hope it's been a help. Jesus, thank you so much for your love and kindness to us. And thank you for, Lord, providing the way of salvation. Help us now to understand your word and to be concerned and Lord, to be diligent in our concern for lost souls. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.